It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. David Harrison going to join us in a matter of moments. He was out in Ashburn. We'll get his thoughts on some of the guys that stood out to him in the first day of pads. We've been talking about Jacory Crooksey-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. He's been the guy that I know a lot of fans are really intrigued with. I have been really thrilled with the way that he has looked. So I'm excited to see what David thought of him. Tell us the story of that collision. We talked about that collision that took place with Bill and Tyler Owens that got an audible gasp from those that were there. So I'm excited to see what David is going to say about that particular thing. And just Brian Robinson as well. We've had some people in our chat. We've had some people on the phone lines wonder what Brian Robinson's status is going to be on this roster. So we got David. We'll go out to him now. David Harrison hosts the Locked On Commanders podcast, does a bunch of great coverage all season for the lead Locked On Podcast Network. David, appreciate you making some time for me. First day of pads. I know it was hot as hell out there this morning, my friend. What stood out to you when seeing some real contact?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, just getting that physicality going. You know, the players have been itching to do it. Obviously, the fans love to see it. We love to see it. So it was good to see that going, but also getting it done cleanly, right? Like remembering, you know, you're not here to destroy each other. You're here to make each other better. So put in some good work, you know, crash the pads a little bit, but also remember that your teammates. I think they did a really good job of that. Only like one moment I can really remember, where, you know, there may be a little bit of a dicey kind of tackle, you know, heat of the moment type of situation. No ill will intended or anything like that, but just kind of, you know, spirit of the moment type of deal, but it was handled real quickly. No coaches had to get involved, right? Veteran player kind of comes over to younger guys and says, hey, like, that's not what we're here for, you know, quiet it down a little bit and get some good work done. And then talking to guys off the field, just continuing this kind of brotherhood practice of, you know, iron sharpening iron, but doing it in a very deliberate way compared to just simply practicing against each other.
Do you remember the two players that were involved in that slightly dicey tackle?
I mean, I don't remember who was tackled. It was Kay Medrano, the rookie running back, you know, just kind of reached up and pulled the guy down a little bit harder than he should in the moment. Bobby Wagner came over, you know, talked to him a little bit. Nothing got heated or anything like that. And Kane understood and they continued their practice and, you know, no other incidents were had.
How did the running back group look? I know there are a lot of us that are really excited on Jacory Crooksey-Merritt, a.k.a. Bill. Yeah. How did he look with pads on?
He looked good. He looked really good. There was one specific rep, you know, near the goal line that really kind of stood out to me. Eddie Goldman, you know, big dude, veteran, run defender, gap filler, right? Like, that's like literally what he's there to do. Had a hold of Jacory, but Jacory was pulling him. But Jacory just was dragging him behind him and moving forward. I mean, that lower body strength alone just on full display in that rep specifically. And, you know, I know Jacory's been waiting to put the pads on, you know, for this exact moment. But also another rep where he got through a hole. I mean, he got skinny and got through the hole and was able to turn a big run out of it. I mean, it's a good introduction into who he is as a football player that I think we're going to see, you know, an even more intentful version when he gets to go against the Patriots. And, you know, again, still not 100% in the practice, but, you know, a little bit more amplified. And then once we get to the game, I think it's going to be a really good introduction to the NFL for him.
Have you gotten any sense on how the coaching staff feels about him?
Yeah, they definitely like him. You know, Anthony Lynn, you know, old head coach, right? Like, he knows how to kind of keep his comments from going too far one way or the other. But you can tell he definitely is impressed with his work ethic, with his ability to come into the room and just kind of integrate. You know, the running backs have their kind of like routine they do after every practice. They run over together, and I literally mean run. Like, they're literally jogging off the practice field over to the jug machine. They're getting in a bunch of catches together as a group, and then they come together and they huddle. You know, I don't know what they're saying. I don't know if they're praying. I don't know what they're doing, but they get together and kind of huddle up for a minute and, you know, kind of say some words. Then they have their little routine on how they break that huddle. And you know, it's just really cool to see the group really unified because, you know, all of us, what are we talking about? We're talking about, you know, go back to the offseason, like, you know, could this team draft a replacement for B-Rob? Could they trade B-Rob? You know, is this going to be Austin Eckler's last year here with this contract season? Is Jacory going to be a running back number one? So if you listen to the narratives that we're all discussing, like, they could be pitting each other, you know, against each other, but they're doing a lot of, you know, very deliberate work to stay unified as a running back group. But I think it's good for the team.
Brian Robinson definitively running back one right now?
Yeah, I think Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler, like, their roles are, you know, pretty much as cemented. I know they say, like, you know, every position is up for grabs. And, you know, certainly look, a guy like Jacory Crosby-Merritt, I mean, if he comes through in the preseason and kind of gives the coaches no excuse to not, you know, play him more, then certainly that could possibly, you know, change things. But I think right now, you know, Brian is the top guy. Austin's the change of pace guy. He was back there getting some special teams work today as a return specials with Deebo Samuel, which is really exciting to start kind of watching. And then, you know, Jacory will try to figure out his way to get some reps there. You know, Jeremy, Chris Rodriguez, all those guys.
Did Jalen Lane catch that pass on Sunday?
He caught the pass. It just wasn't inbound. if he was at Vautech, it would have been a touchdown. You know, was it 6 months ago? 6 months ago, 8 months ago, that's a TD. Unfortunately, you know, in the NFL, it would have been a really great play that didn't count. But you just love the fact that he brought it in the first place. I think it really just showed a big flash of his potential. Jaden putting the ball, I mean, you know, Jalen is not a tall dude. Like, so to put right. that ball over two defenders to where only Jalen can make that play, I mean, Jaden just, I think there's almost a daily basis where he makes a throw where it just reminds me of how lucky I am to be doing this job and come out here and get to watch him and makes up for, you know, some of the other stuff we've had to watch.
I mean, it feels like he is just walked in this cycle, this training camp cycle, just unlimitedly comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when we first got back together for that first OTA practice, you know, and I got to see him, you know, one of my first observations was, I feel like we're back in January. Like, I feel like they won the NFC Championship game, and this is just the next practice in the cycle. Obviously, it's a lot warmer. But, you know, like, just looking at the comfortability, looking at the control, his connection with Zach Ertz on that day specifically, like, you know, it really didn't feel like there had been this break and that he had been, you know, gallivanting all around the world doing press stops and visits and shooting Nike commercials and all this stuff. It felt like he had just, you know, we just had a couple of days off from practice and now we're back to it. And it's super impressive, man. And just, you know, we all praise his poise and his maturity and all that. But I think this really just kind of solidifies that even more. Cause I mean, I've gotten to cover Tom Brady, and granted, you know, he was in like the elder stages of his career, but even Tom Brady, you come to a train. I don't want to get crazy with the comparisons here, so let's not turn this too high, but you know, even Tom Brady, I remember coming to like a first training camp practice to see him, and you could kind of see, like, it's the first training camp practice. But with Jaden, like, it really does seem like he hasn't missed a step.
Talking with David Harrison here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Dent Day sitting in for Kevin. He is the host of the Locked On Commanders. You can find him on Twitter at @dharrison82. A lot of attention, David, has been paid to the cornerbacks and the DBs. How has Trey Amos looked in the first couple of days of training camp?
Comfortable, you know, comfortable. Like every rookie has a rookie moment. You know, like we talked about Kane a minute ago, you know, kind of getting caught up in the heat moment, going a little bit overboard on the tackle. That was kind of his rookie moment, right? Jalen had a drop, you know, Jacory Brooks has had some drops. But Trey, I mean, he looks really good. You know, if he gets beat, it's been because Jaden and or the receiver just made a better play. And that's, you know, that's going to happen in the NFL. Everybody's talented. But Trey hasn't had one of those just blown coverages or, you know, just like blatantly, okay, you know, you're the new guy type of mistakes. He looks like a natural fit in this defense, which, you know, when you go back to the evaluation and the tape of him coming out of Ole Miss, like that's, he was kind of that quintessential Washington Commanders DB, as long as the personality fit, which is something that we can't evaluate from our foxhole. But yeah, so far getting known just a little bit and talking to him, his personality seems to jive. His play is certainly doing wonders. I actually talked to Coach Simmons, the defensive pass game coordinator, today off the practice field, and he was one of the guys we talked about along with Tyler Owens, and just how much these young guys are really not only embracing what is being preached and what's being taught, but putting it into action and doing it in a very quick manner.
I want to pat us both on the back because, David, we're 11 minutes into a conversation before we've even mentioned Terry McLaurin, so kudos to us. But with that said, what has it been like since he got back? Has it been distraction or has it been positive?
No, honestly, it's business as usual. Like, I don't know that, you know, there's no difference on the practice field. There's no difference in, you know, the flow of things, the way the coaching staff is behaving, you know, talking to players. There's no sense that there's this like tension, you know, looming over people. And I think it kind of goes back to what Bobby Wagner, you know, said in his press conference just the other day. He said that, you know, he thinks every NFL player needs to get more intelligent about the business side of this, but also part of knowing the business side of the NFL is understanding what is your business and you know, when it comes to Terry McLaurin's contract, that's none of Bobby Wagner's business. And I think the players and the coaches kind of all take that same approach. Like, when he's here, fantastic, we'll move forward. But while he's not, we're going to move forward with the guys that we have. And the receivers that have been here and playing in Terry's absence have done a very good job. I think, you know, if, you know, not that I wish this to happen, but like, if Terry just wasn't a part of this team, I'm not saying you'd be like, oh, this is, you know, Super Bowl or bust type of offensive, you know, weaponry, but I think you would still feel good about what you're seeing here on the practice field. That being said, you know, when Terry comes out to say hi to the fans, which I think is great that he's taking time to still go ahead and do that, you certainly notice that, you know, obviously the fans want to see him, the fans still love him, and honestly, just coming out here to say hi to them in the midst of all this is just going to make them love him even more, and he wants to get this thing done. They say day by day. Tomorrow's another day of practice, so who knows, maybe 17th will be on the field tomorrow.
A couple more here for David Harrison. He joins us. He's the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. He joins us here on the Team 980 on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in for Kevin. How has Josh Connerly looked? He got to get physical today for the first time.
Yeah, I think he's looked kind of what you'd expect him, right? Super athletic, certainly has the raw athletic tools. I still think maybe his anchor just needs to get a little bit better. Some of that's going to be technique. Some of that's going to be putting on size and just getting stronger through the natural progression of being, you know, in the NFL and in a weight room and in a training program and all that stuff. I think he kind of had an up and down day today, which is probably what you would expect from a rookie. And, you know, Laremy Tunsil had a rest day, so Josh was out there getting all the first team right tackle reps, you know, which is exactly what you want. You need to go out there and get lessons. And Dorrance Armstrong got in on him a couple of times, but at the same time, there were a couple of pockets that were incredibly clean. So certainly some wins going on there as well. And, you know, the important thing is going to be, What does the tape show? You know, I love the fact that this team, you know, is more open than any other that I've covered about how much they crosstalk. You know, Dorrance is going to go there and say, hey, man, that rep that I just destroyed you on, here's why I destroyed you on it. Here's what I saw. Here's what I did. Here's what I was thinking. Here's how you stop me from doing that next time. And that's great. That's a great opportunity for Josh to go out there and learn and get better. So the next time we see pads, you know, it's going to be something that we're watching for to see that just that incremental progression as we go.
I would assume that the crosstalking is a relatively new thing. Like, in your years of covering this team, you haven't seen that every single training camp, have you? At least to this extent.
No. Yeah, exactly. And at least not to this extent. I mean, I've actually, so I was on my own program, I was actually having this conversation, and, you know, I remember myself, and this isn't to try to put myself on any type of pedestal or anything, but, like, I've had conversations with players in the past where I'm like, oh, like, you know, I saw this rep, whether it be a game, like, actually, so the example I'm thinking, I'm not going to name names, but the example I'm thinking of specifically was a defender who got beat by an offensive player. That offensive player just so happened to be a college teammate of his. They're really good friends. And, you know, the following week I said, hey, you know, that rep, you know, like, what happened? You know, just kind of talking in the locker room. And they're like, oh, here's what happened, A, B, C, and D. I said, cool, did you talk to him after the game or, like, anything like that? He's like, yeah, we caught up. I was like, cool, did you ask him about that play and, like, how he kind of bent you the way that he bent you? You kind of, like, sat there. He's like, no, I should do that. He's like, I should text him. He's like, yeah, you should. That's your friend. You know what I mean? And, like, and so it's kind of like to me, I'm kind of like, that seems like a, you know, a fairly, I don't say obvious, but like a smart thing to do. But the amount that it doesn't actually happen would probably surprise a lot of people who are sitting there saying, like, yeah, why wouldn't you do that? So to at least this extent, because, like, Brandon Coleman's talking about Javon Kinlaw, you know, today just specifically told me that very first rep of teams, Javon Kinlaw destroyed him. And so he came back, he's like, man, you just owned me on that one. Javon's like, yeah, here's why I owned you. Here's how you fix it. And Brandon's like, cool, thanks. He went there and he fixed it. And then he was able to stonewall Javon. And then, you know, they'll go back together and Javon will say, hey, man, when I tried to rip this move on you, you stopped me. How were you able to stop that? And he'll say, well, you know, you loaded up with your left arm doing this or whatever it is. So it's not just veterans teaching young guys. It's also young guys. Like, if the young guy beats you in a rep, go find out why so that you can get better as well. And it's, yeah, at least to this extent, It's really great to see, but it's also very unique.
Javon Kinlaw is massive. He is a massive dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he's bigger than I expected him to be. Absolutely.
So two more for you here. You and I were talking last week, and I was not aware of this, but you told me that you break out a new pair of kicks for every game. Do you already have in mind what you're breaking out for the preseason game against New England next week?
Oh, so the preseason doesn't count. I don't do that for the preseason. That's only for regular season. So I've got four pairs of sneakers already staged for the beginning of the year. Now that Santana is getting honored on week one, I got to figure out, like, that's a special occasion, right? So that deserves, and, you know, anybody who doesn't care about sneakers doesn't care about any of this, but that's, I'm going to have to put some thought into which pair I wear there. because that's a special one. Obviously, Art Monk's, you know, jersey retirement's a special one. Spain is a special one. So I've got to figure out Lambeau my first time. Like, you know, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna look at all my shoes and say, which one of you gets to touch Lambeau? You know what I mean? Like, only one of you does. So it's gonna be special to losers like me who are into this kind of thing.
Are you like our primarily Jordan guy, or do you maybe break in some New Balances, some Adidas in there? Like, how deep into the sneakerhead well do you go?
So I'm all Nike, mostly Jordan, but I do have like Air Force Ones. You know, I'll get like Air Maxes, things like that. I'll do some of the other brands, but yeah, it's all Nike and mostly Jordans.
All right, so final question here. I mentioned that preseason game August 8th. I said today that I'm hoping that a deal for Terry is done by that preseason game. Do you think something is in paper and writing and he will be practicing by August 8th?
I would like to think so, and I really would like to think that he's out there for the joint practice against New England Patriots, you know, coming up, you know, relatively soon. Because those are really valuable. Those are valuable opportunities, not just for the players to go out there and go up against live opponents, but also, you know, Dan Quinn talked about this today. Like, you know, he might go to Mike Vrabel and say, hey, look, like, we really want to work on, you know, beating cover one with this route combination. So can you throw us some cover one looks in this specific block? And Mike will do that. And then Mike will say, hey, we really want to, you know, get better at chasing a quarterback like Jaden Daniels. So can you give me some read options during this block, right? And they'll help each other out. And so, you know, when you're doing that, you obviously would like to have your full arsenal of weapons. You know, it's not that they can't throw Chris Moore out there in that X position where Terry would be and say, you know, run the same route that Terry would run, but it's different, right? Terry is who he is for a reason. So you can put a person in that spot, but he's not going to run it the same way with the same efficiency and the same intensity that Terry is. So you definitely want to have him out there. So I'm kind of putting a bookmark on that date. But yeah, certainly at least for the first preseason game, especially with the reduced preseason that we have now, you'd love to see him out there.
David, appreciate the time as always, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
That is David Harrison of the Locked On Commanders podcast. You can find him on Twitter at dharrison82. He's out of training camp each and every day covering the Commanders. When we get back, Leno Willingham is going to jump on with us. Plus, the strangest reason that a guy has been released from the NFL. I would go so far as to say the strangest reason in NFL history. I will share that with you and Leno Willingham when we get back. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.